from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Are you buying or selling these bold NBA Finals predictions? We're going to talk about that coming up at 3:20. Here's Wolchuk with your NFL news of the day, though.
Yeah, 817. You know, yes.
Real quick, can I say something too? They did kickoff return stuff out on the field today.
Yeah.
Oh, with the new formations.
Rules. I'm going to say something here. I'm going to make a prediction. There's going to be a lot of kickoff returns for big plays.
Let's go.
And the way they're doing things, like when the defenders can't go until the ball's touched.
Yeah.
If that ball is even short and that returner has a chance to run up on it a little bit,
he can be gone.
There were a couple of times where Turpin had it to the edge before the defense even reacted.
They got some serious speed there with him.
And I think Arbery was trying to give him the opportunity to, you know, just to, you know, to return stuff. But if the returners had the opportunity to run up on the ball, the way and there's different ways there were different. I can't get into
right.
There's different configurations that you could set up to cover, and then how you block it with different way. You know, trust me, I think Bones has given this some real thought
because how excited he was.
There
about
were
this.
Several times where I'm like, "Damn, ball's at the 50. Let's go." You know, that kind
field
of thing.
Position could be very different this year. And that's something that this week, you know, prepping for games when we're like talking about this. Sometimes you have these kickers. We've talked about it with the Mason Crosby last year with Robbie Gould, like not a strong leg. Some of these kickers are going to short these. And that's going to be an advantage for the Cowboys when you have somebody like Kevontae Turpin with that type of speed and return ability.
He got the ball to the edge several times. If you can get two blocks on the edge, or I mean, there's a missed tackle, that thing's into the second level.
Yeah,
that's a kicker's now having to make a tackle there.
Yeah, and that's a problem. That's definitely something that's going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah,
and we'll get our first.
I'm
taste
sorry,
of that.
I just wanted to dive.
Hey, it's NFL news of the day. That's NFL news right there. Yeah. Now, Micah, we went through some of the things that he said yesterday, but I saw Clarence Hill, our buddy Chill Fort Worth Star Telegram. I guess he was discussing if he didn't play for the Cowboys. And if he ever, you know, found the money to play elsewhere, who is a team that he would want to play for? And he's been linked to the Eagles a lot. He's a Pennsylvania guy, but it's not the Eagles. He said the team is
Arizona.
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, Steelers.
Reason why, Mike Tomlin. Makes some sense. I mean, I'm a big Mike Tomlin fan. I have been for a long time. I think he's been criminally underrated as a head coach. He's never had a losing record. I know there's some people out there that, hey, if you're Steeler fans, they've been calling for Mike Tomlin to be fired. Maybe there's some, I don't watch every single Steeler game, and maybe there is some in-game management issues. But to me, that dude's been done more with less than the majority of coaches out there in the National Football League over the last 20 years. And sign me up. I'd want to play for Mike Tomlin as well. That guy is a leader of men. I love him. And if he ever became available, that's definitely a name that would perk me up and say, hey, I'd love you to come coach the Dallas Cowboys.
I mean, he's been doing this without a good quarterback for like the last decade.
Yeah, he's winning games with guys like Duck Hodges at quarterback. Yeah. Not a lot of coaches can say that. Mike Tomlin's that dude. But I'm okay with that. You know, I know a lot of Cowboy fans are like, damn, I hate the Steelers. And I do too. I'm with you. But I can understand wanting to play for a guy in Mike Tomlin. Another thing is at receiver. Treylon Burks was a wide receiver out of Arkansas that was a first-round pick, came out a couple of years ago. Titans that day of the draft.
Can I throw something at you?
Is this about Burks?
No, it's about Mike Tomlin.
Oh, yeah.
I had a guy in the league tell me this. No, what are you laughing at, Lucius?
You can't help yourself, bro. It's amazing.
You did it twice. It's so good. Go ahead. Keep going.
No. The thing with Mike Tomlin, I had a guy in the league tell me this. I'm just bringing this up.
No, you're good, man. Never mind me, you know?
No, I'm with you.
That's weed.
No, I'm with you, man. But a guy said, he goes, we give Mike McCarthy a lot of grief.
Yeah.
About his playoff record or the playoff record with the Cowboys.
Sure.
And it made me look up, the guy said, look up Mike Tomlin's playoff record and tell me what it is. And I was like, okay. He's been in 18 playoff games.
Sure.
As a head coach. He's 8-10.
Yeah,
I would have never believed that about Mike Tomlin.
You would have thought he had a winning record?
Yeah, and you're right. Mike Tomlin is a damn good coach. I think Mike Tomlin understands personnel. I mean, he'd be a great guy to work with for scout. And the consistency that they have with their drafts and the roster and stuff.
And always have a good defense. I mean, that's his background.
But I had a guy in the league tell me, like, yeah, you guys want to get on, Mike McCarthy. Look, you like Mike Tomlin? And I'm like, yeah, I'm a big fan of Mike Tomlin. Look at his playoff record, 8-10. And,
yes.
And Mike Tomlin doesn't take the grief that a Mike McCarthy does.
No, he doesn't. I think that part of that is probably because we're looking at that in what I just said, where he's finding a way to get these teams that really have no business being in the playoffs, but he gets them there.
Yeah.
And then they're probably one and done, and that's because they're not as good as some of these other teams they're going up against, mainly because they haven't had a quarterback. I mean, Big Ben, at the end of his career, was a shell of himself. He could barely throw the football 15 yards down the field. And then the last couple of years, he's been making it. I mean, who started their playoff game last year? Was it Kenny Pickett? I can't even remember.
Yeah.
I mean, he's had a lot of backup quarterbacks have to start. So I am making excuses for him, absolutely. And McCarthy, if he's driving around listening, he's like, well, where are the excuses making for me?
No, I just was surprised because I didn't expect the name. Mike Tomlin's 0-4 in his last four playoff games. You know, and
who are the quarterbacks? But
that's what someone was telling me. He's like, you guys down there want to give Mike McCarthy a lot of crap for playoffs. And I'm like, okay. He goes, look up Mike Tomlin. If you respect Mike Tomlin, look up his playoff record and tell me what you got.
We could do a lot worse than Mike McCarthy. We will do a lot worse than Mike McCarthy.
We absolutely could. Mike's a winner. Mike is a good coach, and he has established a culture of winning and consistency, which we really have not had here previously before him. But we'll see if he's able to finally break through that hump, get some NFC championship going up around here. But back to Treylon Burks. Cowboys liked him a lot. He's an Arkansas guy.
Yes.
I liked him quite a bit coming out of that draft class as well. Now, I don't think Tennessee has really used him in the right way.
They're making him play special teams now, right?
Yeah, so now they're like, here's Brian Callahan, who's their new head coach, son of running game Moses, who's now with him there as their offensive line coach. But this is what he has to say about their former first-rounder, Treylon Burks.
Today, as a gunner, if he winds up fourth in line at the position, no matter how good he is he going to have to contribute on special teams, and what can he do there?
Absolutely, he's going to have to contribute. You know, you only get so many hats on game day, and if he's one of those guys on game day, we're going to have to find a place for him because those special teams, guys like him should be great special teams players on top of it just because of his size and speed. And so the gunner thing is something I think he's very capable of doing. There might be some more roles for him in the other phases as well. But, yeah, anytime you're not the full-time starter, you're going to have to contribute somewhere on game day. And I think Trey's attitude and approach to special teams has been fantastic. And so I'm excited to see what he could do for him. I think he's an asset on special teams.
So they've obviously added Calvin Ridley in the offseason. They've got DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, they've got themselves a pretty darn good receiving core. So Treylon Burks has kind of been knocked down to fourth on the depth chart there. But I wonder, you know, if we get to camp and we're talking about who's going to step up and be that wide receiver three, Is that a name that you can look at and maybe he ends up being on the trade block? Because, you know, the Cowboys
Cooks is wide receiver three. Cooks is wide receiver three. Ferguson's wide receiver two.
But realistically, Ferguson's a tight end, right? So really a true wide receiver three.
The targets are going to go Lamb, Ferguson.
Yes, just, I agree.
Yeah.
But who do you want as your wide receiver three? Treylon Burks could be an upgrade at that spot. And I don't know what the draft capital is, but I'd be interested in maybe going after and looking at a guy like that.
Yeah, but realistically, Ferguson's your second receiver.
Yes, but he's not a receiver. He's a tight end. I agree with what you're saying in terms of the targets.
They're going to use him like a wide receiver.
Depth chart-wise.
Yeah.
You think so? They're going to line him out that wide?
I think when it's all said and done, the guys with the top three receptions are going to be, or targets and receptions are going to be Lamb, Ferguson, Cooks, and whoever else.
Right.
Whoever else you want to say is going to beat out.
But specifically talking about your wide receiver room, if CeeDee Lamb goes down, you're in a world of hurt. So I'm looking to maybe let's go ahead and add some depth there. Treylon Burks is a guy that could be a better player than Jalen Brooks, who we're talking about. Maybe Kevontae Turpin, who we're looking at now, could be than Jalen Tolbert. You know, certainly he's a guy that he hasn't worked out, but you know the Cowboys liked him. Those scouts have their same reports. So it's just a name to consider.
No, I see what you're doing there. I just don't think they would do it.
Okay.
I just don't. I think that they're going to look at it.
They feel like they're okay.
No, they always do. They always feel like they're okay.
They like their guys.
What do? They're gonna roll Cooks out there. What did they do? They rolled Cooks out there. They rolled Turpin out there.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they're gonna do. You know, they're not gonna go and get Brooks.
They're not gonna look at a guy like Treylon Burks.
Burks, no.
I hope it is surprising how unfulfilling his career has been.
It's really not been good at all.
Yeah.
But he ran out of the slot a ton at Arkansas, and that's really made him a good player. They put him in motion a bunch. I have not seen Tennessee do that.
Played with a below average quarterback
sure
doing
did.
That too.
And it was a bad ball catcher.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm very surprised that his career has not taken off. I thought it would. How about James Bradbury? He's getting safety work with the Eagles.
Yep.
They're moving him from corner, and then he ended up leaving practice yesterday and an undisclosed injury.
Yeah.
So he's already banged up. First day playing safety, James Bradbury's out of there.
Yeah.
And now you do have officially Jason Kelce and Fletcher Cox have been placed on reserve retired list. So in terms of them maybe coming back, once you're on that list, I don't know if that ends that kind of speculation, but they officially did make that move. And keeping it in the NFC East, you've got Kayvon Thibodeau of the Giants, who did really start to come on last year.
Much better.
He looked like the guy that we thought was the best player in that draft class.
Yes.
But he wants to break Michael Strahan's record.
21?
Yeah, which he happened to break with your guy over there, number four in Green Bay.
Brett Favre, you need to say
he
that.
He gave him one.
He did. He fell.
He did.
He did.
Right? He took a dive.
Go ahead and say.
And he let Strahan.
Your Keith Jackson.
Mama gave me 8 of them flapjacks. Said Mama take away 5 of them flapjacks. I want to stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
He did. He flopped.
He did. He flopped. Commandos got themselves a new kicker. They bleep canned Brandon McManus over the weekend. He's got some allegations against him. They're not good. You can Google those. But Ramiz Ahmed.
This is a UFL kicker.
Yeah. What's his name again so I can Google it since you don't want to tell us?
Brandon McManus. I think it's like some sexual assault allegation.
Yeah, it's sexual assault.
Yeah, not good.
While he was in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Keep your freaky ass inside.
Yeah, you get
exactly.
And it was during like their London trip.
Yes.
So this is, this
could
might
be an international crime.
Could be. This is going to be an interesting case that comes out here with Brandon McManus, but I'm hoping they don't catch lightning in a bottle like we did with Brandon Aubrey. Plano's own, baby. I hope this guy, Ramiz Ahmed, doesn't end up working out for the Commandos. Maybe you go to another team, Ahmed. I hope you're awesome.
Yeah.
But just not an NFC East team. You can stink with the Commandos. All right, I teed this up. What's the weirdest thing you've ever stolen? I know we got a bunch of thieves
over
here.
A life jacket
listening.
Off a plane.
Yeah, and that was a great story. 877-881-1053. Matt Light was on Julian Edelman's podcast. Matt Light had himself a little thievery fetish going on during his playing days, and he tells us what it might be next.
What's your favorite thing you stole from another stadium?
Listen, I'm not going to jail on your podcast.
Did you steal a You used to steal the stools.
Amazing memory. You have an amazing memory. Like I said, I'm not stealing anything from you, but I have been looking. By the way, that stool is in my house right now. It was nice and square. It has to be, I'm going to say, quarter sawn white oak is where I'm going.
Quarter sawn white oak.
Yep. And in the center has a recessed brass plate with the number 72. I searched all through the locker room to find the right one, and then I put it in my equipment bag.
I remember. Remember it was at the old equipment guy? He's like, Yeah. Mike, we can't do this or something.
I'm like, yes, you can.
Was that the move? Just shove it in the duffel bag and get out of there?
Yeah, because they're huge, right? Yeah. You get all your pads and all that.
You stole stools from everywhere?
Almost every place we went to. My most favorite stool is KC. No 72, but it's... It's awesome. And I have all these really awesome banners from the Super Bowl eras. I would rip down all these banners, jumping up and just running. Ting, 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 ting. Wadding it up. Like the ones that hang in the hotel.
Yeah.
When we get to the hotel, I couldn't stop myself there either.
He's a freaking thief over here, Mel. It's like, oh, I'm going to take that. Ding, 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 ding. But I didn't realize how much you could put in these duffel bags,
Oh,
Brian.
No, they're huge. It's like,
he's putting stools in there.
Yeah, you get shoulder pads, helmets, damn, all your cleats, pads, everything. Yeah, you could... It's like a body bag. You could put a lot
put
in there.
A little body in there.
So these are like locker room stools?
Yeah, locker room stools.
That you would sit at in front of your locker.
Very nice.
So he's collecting them from all the road stadiums he goes to, and they showed some pictures of them on the podcast. They do look pretty cool.
Yeah, the one from Kansas City was beautiful.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, it was a beautiful stool.
But man, I used to
steal banners too.
Okay.
When I was at LSU, like we like for the TV, like you know, we'd play a TV game like on ESPN, whatever, and behind the bench, I'd take the trainer's scissors at the end of the game, and I'd walk over there and snip it and fold it up and put it. I had an apartment with every sports banner that did college football games.
Yeah, that stuff's cool.
Yeah.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. It's neat. I mean, absolutely. So shout out to Matt Light. He's got his little collection of bar stools. Now, Adam Schefter.
Of course, for me, it was the 12-pack of Miller Genuine Draft that I bought inside of a Barks Root Beer 12-pack cardboard.
That's genius, man.
It is genius.
Yeah.
That's not a weird thing. That's smart.
I thought so, too, and I didn't think I was technically stealing.
You weren't, because there was some payment there.
There was a, yeah. Well, yeah. So
how many times did you do it?
Only once, the sad thing.
Did you get caught?
I did.
Only once?
Buddy walked in on me in the cooler doing the exchange there, the root beer for the beer, and I was like, man, what do I do? Do I tell him? I'm caught red-handed. He was like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm going to let him in on this. I bet old Neil could use 12 cold beers as well.
Neil.
He's going to think this is genius too,
he
man.
He tattled on you.
Next day I walk in and the assistant manager's like, we need to talk.
Oh.
Damn it, Neil. Yeah.
Old Neil the squeal.
Yep.
Neil wanted your job.
Neil sounds like a guy that can't
be trusted.
Neil
was envious.
Yeah, he sounds like a... Yeah, he snitches.
Neil sounds like a snitch.
Was this when you were bag boy of the year?
It was bag boy of the quarter. But yeah, I just appeared in their quarterly publication.
When they let you go?
Yeah. Man, it had lightning hands.
It hurt them. It did. They were like, crap, you're our best guy. And I'm like, I know.
Did people ask where old Gabby was? They're like, where's Gabby? Old ladies?
I don't have a lot of time. I need Gavin.
I'm trying to check out. All of a sudden, this is way slower here now. Let's go.
Old Neil ain't cutting it.
Damn it, Neil.
Where's Gabby?
I know they had a tough decision to make that day.
Man.
But they did talk the owner out of pressing charges.
You are crazy. They had a tough decision to make charges.
When assistant manager guy, like, when he confronted you, what did you say? You're like, oh, okay. Did you just kind of acknowledge it, leave? Or did you like go, no, it's not me?
You know, my genuine reaction was I didn't think I needed to get fired over it. I was like, but I can go back to work, right?
Yeah,
and they're like, no. No.
I do think that that's something that I would have let go.
Yeah.
Should have just.
Too much.
Just a warning, like a stern talking to you.
Come
like,
on, Gavin.
Gavin, don't do that again, man. We can't do that.
Describe again how you did it. Did you leave two root beers on top?
Yeah.
So you got 10
it was
beers.
Actually 10 beers, two root beers on top, because inside the 12-pack they could
the
see.
In the handle. Yeah,
so I wouldn't want one of my checker friends seeing the beer. I'm putting them in a weird spot. So it was 10 beers.
Oh.
Then I would take the additional Barks Root Beer and just putting them in the singles, place where you could buy a single soda for
this
50
is great.
Cents.
I mean, it's genius, bro.
It is genius.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, an older gentleman who was on his way out tipped me to that.
Oh.
He's like, hey, here's what I used to do when I was under 21. And I was like,
brilliant.
Passing down
you.
The tricks of the trade.
Yeah.
And then he called you in you need to check this Dawson guy. I think he's stealing beer from you.
You know what's funny? At the time, he was an assistant manager, but he was not the one that had to fire me. I don't think he would have. But
poor guy.
Did you call him out? Did you say, well, Bill told me what to do?
No. I at least had enough sense about me then.
You
should
blame Neil. I got to stick to the G code.
You should throw Neil under the bus. Did Neil tell you that? That's funny because he put me up to this.
Yeah.
It's time.
That Neil guy.
It's time for the NBA Finals news of the day as we're on Finals Eve right here in DFW. Pinch yourself. You're not dreaming, Mavericks fans. We're in the finals. Are you buying or selling these bold finals predictions? That's coming up next. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot tall
tall-talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It is the G-Back Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a great day. Segment here is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel are the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one's been in an accident, contact the Frankels for a free consultation. 214-817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. Celtics guard Drew Holiday was asked, what can you do to stop Kyrie Irving? He answered, pray. That is one of the biggest matchups, Kyrie versus Drew Holiday, and how much can, you know, Drew slow down Kyrie Irving, bother his shot? I don't think any individual can in the association, but Drew's one of the best, especially on your smaller type guys, so that's a big one. Who's ready for some bold predictions for your finals, though? And my question for you, are you buying or selling these bold finals predictions that come courtesy CBS Sports?
Well played, Lucius.
Number one, Luka will average 35 points per game. By the way, only 9 players have averaged at least 35 in a single finals. Shaq did it twice. Jordan did it twice. And then you got to go way back for the next two, Rick Barry and Elgin Baylor.
Rick Barry for the old Golden State Warriors for Al Attles. 1975 or 74?
Probably. LeBron did it. Giannis did it. Jerry West. Allen Iverson did it because his team was just bad. It was the bottom of the Eastern drought. Drug a bunch of bums there, non-All-Stars. Good final showdown against Kobe and Shaq. KD did it. Luka would become the 10th ever to do it in this situation. He has averaged 35 or more for a single playoff series just once. It was against the Clippers back there in 2021. So I'd bet against it, you know. 35 is a lot of dang points. And I feel like if he is that hot, they'll start sending guys at him and he'll hit the open player, and other players will benefit from that. What would you guys say? You buying or selling Luka averaging 35 points per game in the finals?
35 is a lot. I definitely think he's going to hit 30, but I'd lean towards buying that. I mean, and it goes to what we were talking about earlier. I do think Tatum and Brown are very, very good perimeter defenders, but they don't have the bully type of guy like we saw in Lou Dort, which gave him some issues. And I do think part of that was also Luka being injured, right? I wonder if you have a healthy Luka, are we viewing Lou Dort as doing such an amazing job as we are right now? Luka even stated having the break, it's nice, but he's still hurt. So whatever he's dealing with, I don't think he's ever truly going to be okay until after the season. He's going to be hobbling through that. But I do think that there's just not going to be an answer for him. He's a walking bucket. If you want me to go ahead and beat you from three and shoot over you, I can do that. If you want me to dribble past you and hit you at the rim, I'll do that as well. So I think it's very likely. This is the type of stage that we've seen some of these alpha dogs take their game to the next level. It's hard to imagine there's another level for Luka to go, but I think that we're going to see it. And I think I'd buy that over selling 35 a game.
Kind of feel like that, you know, what he's already averaging, 33-9? Is that what the number is? How many free throws this guy missed during a game every once in a while?
That's a great point.
You know, I mean, if he doesn't miss, he had a game where he was knocking down all his free throws, but depending on how these officials call this game, if he gets to the line and has opportunity, absolutely he can. But he's going to have to knock down some free throws. We know that we know that scoring in the field is going to be there. But is the free throw shooting going to be there? We've seen too many times where it seems like he's a 3 out of 5, or he's a 6 out of 10.
Yeah,
you know, and if he's able to have that consistency where he's shooting around 90-91% on free throws, yeah, he can average that.
It's a good point. Yeah, I mean, it's there for the taking if he just makes one more shot. Yeah. Finals point differential will be under 20 for the entire series. About a third of all NBA finals have finished with a point differential of fewer than 20. This one will become the 25th. I could see that. I don't see the Mavs running away from the Celtics too many times or vice versa. At least 6 clutch games, which, you know, decided by 5 points at any point in the last 5 minutes. Absolutely. You know, kind of goes along with bold prediction number 2. I'm buying both of those. How about you, Wolchuk?
Yeah, I think that's exactly why I'm leaning Mavs in this series, because I think I just trust Luka and Kyrie, their clutch ability to close out games. We've seen it this year. I think they've been the best in the NBA. I think at times there's question marks as to how clutch Brown and Tatum are in those moments. They've benefited from guys like Halliburton in game 1 of the Eastern Conference peeing down his leg in that situation. They're not going to get the benefit of Luka and Kyrie most likely having an issue and fumbling a game away in a 5 point or less game with 2 minutes left. They're going to find a way to come up with a big basket.
Bold prediction number 4, Brian. Porzingis takes center stage. I think he will. I think he'll be a net negative for Boston, though, because of pick and roll defense, because of his lack of quickness, and I think the Mavs big men will get the better of him.
Yeah, he's going to have his hands full, but I also worry a little bit about him stepping back and hitting shots. You know, that's something I was listening to the Midday guys. I think they were getting into this maybe Tuesday, and they were talking to him, and Reggie read off, like, his stats coming back from injuries and, like, multiple games of injuries, maybe weeks of injuries and stuff like that. Those three-point numbers were, like, 4 of 6, 5 of 7. 8 of 10.
Pretty good.
He was pretty clutch when he came to that. The Dallas big men will give them some problems, though. And hey, by the way, can I circle back on the clutch games?
Yeah.
That's all that the Celtics were playing against Indiana. That's all, every game, you know, there was the one, kind of like with the Mavs. The Mavs were all, you go to the whole Mavs series, whether it's Oklahoma City or the Clippers, that's all Dallas does is play clutch games. So, yes, your number of the over on the clutch games?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely on that. Yes.
And their fifth prediction, Dallas scores a historic upset. I don't look at this as a historic upset, but that's the way they do.
Yeah, I think it's like the third.
It will be the 5 seed. A 5 seed has never won the championship.
Well, I think just like odds to win, I think they're the third biggest underdog in NBA Finals history or the Mavericks. So for us, like, we're not viewing, it's weird. And I've seen like Bill Simmons going back and forth and talking about this on his show with Ryan Russillo. And Bill Simmons is a Boston guy, so we can give him the homer label if you want. But he's even said, like, it doesn't feel like an upset because a lot of people, including us, are all taking the Mavericks, it seems like, to win this. But, yeah, Boston's been that juggernaut team all year long. It would be an upset for the Mavs to win, and I think they're about to do it.
He's pointing to the epic upset in the fact that of the 15 teams in history that have gone to the finals with a combined 20 or fewer losses over the regular season and postseason, 14 have gone on to win the title. 14 of 15 that have arrived in Boston's situation and combined 20 or fewer losses over the regular season and postseason. The most recent was the 73-win Warriors who lost to the Cavaliers
yes.
on an epic shot from Kyrie Irving in Game 7.
Right.
I think Kyrie is a massive factor here. With players of his ilk, their ability to focus on the moment and hit big shots and execute while a lot of other people, even stars, are kind of freaking out. Like, Kobe in the gold medal game in 2008 said, man, I knew when this game against Spain had my attention that other guys must have really, really been feeling, you know, the butterflies getting the best of you. And I think Kyrie Irving is just one of those few guys that actually does have ice water in his veins in those big games, those huge games.
No doubt.
So there you have it. Bold predictions for the 2024 NBA Finals that feature your Dallas Mavericks. It's... I mean, it's almost too good to be true, but after watching them, you know it is true because this has been a dismantling of the best teams in the West. Around the Bases coming up next. Woolchuck brought to us by Uber Eats. Where are you taking it?
The worst gambler ever. 10-cent beer night in the Astros. Down another pitcher. That's next.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Time now to go around the bases. Brought to you by Uber Eats. Here's your baseball host, Woolchuck.
Man, I just saw this. It's a bummer for our guy, Monty. Apparently, Diamondback starter Jordan Montgomery booed coming off the field. Lasted just two innings, gave up seven hits, three walks, couple of homers, total of six runs. Another pitcher who says missing spring training has been a factor in his slow start. We've seen that with Blake Snell as well. But
Blake Snell's hurt now, right?
Yeah, he is. And I don't think Jordan Montgomery would be booed coming off the field here in Texas in a Rangers uniform. That's a bummer. That's sad to hear.
I think they need to trade him to us.
I think so. Maybe a deadline move?
Yeah,
a
deadline move.
I think so. I think that sounds like a good move to me.
Pay the salary for a prospect or for a player.
Kind of like switcheroo.
Yeah, we can do that.
I think
our GM's really good at doing things like
really
that.
Really good. CY's kind of the best. I mean, he had the idea to get him last year. I think maybe you're onto something there.
Yeah.
Go ahead and make that happen. Astros, you're going to be in the market for a pitcher as well. They did say they're going to be buyers at the deadline. Dana Brown, their GM, as they're attempting to right the ship with the P there after they have bounced back. I mean, they entered earlier this week. They had a 27-34 record, which was definitely disappointing. I mean, they were the cellar dwellers for a while. They had a miserable 10-19 stretch to begin the season. Since then, they were 17-15 since the start of May. So they've definitely been playing much better. But now they've got Christian Javier and Jose Urquidy. They've lost both to season-ending elbow surgeries, which is the latest blow to their rotation. They're also without Luis Garcia and Lance McCullers Jr. So right now it's Justin Verlander, it's Framber Valdez, it's Ronel Blanco, Hunter Brown, and Spencer Arrigetti is what they're working with. But big-time injuries to the Astros rotation as well, as their arms are really struggling to stay healthy. So we had talked about that coming into the season. Everyone was pointing at the Rangers and the health of their rotation. Astros have really been struggling, and it's only gotten worse for them. But while the Rangers are looking like they could finally be getting some reinforcements back, like it seems like John Gray could be starting as early as Friday when we're out there at the ballpark.
Well, that'd be great. I love seeing big bad John Gray out there. I just think it's a league-wide problem, and any team that wins it is going to have to overcome at least one, maybe two, season-ending injuries to starting pitchers.
No doubt. I mean, the tax.
As you guys get pitchers back, are you interested in moving any of them for bats?
It is interesting. I did not think we would have to have the conversation about adding a bat. I thought that they would be overwhelmed with an abundance of offense, but that is a struggle right now. Pitching has not been the issue thus far with the Rangers. It has been the offense, and especially now with Evan Carter.
Yeah,
I think yes. I think you would have to look at possibly trying to do something to acquire another bat. I think, yeah, you would. Because, I mean, now you've got a luxury of like, okay, if you've got guys that are coming back to your rotation, you can look at it. Andrew Heaney is a long reliever.
Yeah.
You've had some guys that have really stepped up and played well in the bullpen. So, yeah, I think so. And we'll go through, I'm sure, we'll get some more names coming on when we do Around the Bases later this week that we can maybe target to go and add some offensive firepower. We did get news today that Shohei Ohtani has been officially cleared by Major League Baseball after the investigation into Ipe Mizuhara's bets. Now, Ipe did go ahead and plead guilty. Remember, it was a formality a couple of weeks ago. He pled not guilty, but it was because he was reaching a plea agreement. So yesterday, he went ahead and did plead guilty. But the Dodgers issued a statement with today's plea in the criminal proceedings against Mizuhara and the conclusion of both federal and MLB investigations. The Dodgers are pleased that Shohei and the team can put this entire matter behind them and move forward in a pursuit for the World Series.
Yeah, I love this. You know, I hope some chapter is written or some tale is told, you know, at some point that continues to expand this soap opera. You know, if MLB did in fact cover this up, as so many people believe, it's massive. You know, I can't imagine, though, a player of that size, like everybody that's getting caught is you know, not making a lot of money. That's the common factor here. Yeah.
They're all
it's like what happened with the Chicago Black Sox all those years ago was those players were getting squeezed. They weren't making any money, right? And they felt robbed. So they were like, well, we'll figure out one way or another to get our share of this pie. It just doesn't match the description that Shohei would.
No, it doesn't. But you're like, Brian, when you say, of course, I agree with you. Major League Baseball, I wonder how in depth that investigation went, because they don't want their star.
This guy's worth hundreds of millions of dollars to baseball, to the Asian market and stuff. Like, no, they're not. They're not. No.
Yeah.
They're not.
If we can turn the other way, we're going to.
The investigation is, cough and turn your head and cough.
Yeah.
It's going to require a journalist, you know, to uncover any additional facts, because your dead ball's on, right? There's no way MLB wants to find
Who's our guy, Don Van Natta?
Van Natta.
Like, if he shows up, you know, something juicy's about to be found here, maybe he goes ahead and does a deep dive there on Shohei. We find out he was behind.
Don causes you problems. Tom Rinaldi makes you cry.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, we've learned that.
But to your point, and we're getting texted in, like, it's obvious, only the small players are getting caught. Well, here's another one. Tecopita Marcano has gotten a lifetime ban from Major League Baseball. Apparently, the infielder placed hundreds of bets on the game, including wagers on games involving the Pirates, the team in which he plays for, last season. So he placed 387 baseball bets, totaling more than $150,000 in October of 2022 and from last July through November with a legal sports book. He became the first active player in a century banned for life because of gambling.
Pete Rose.
Listen to this dude. It wasn't worth it. Total amount bet on baseball, $150,000. Total amount bet on the MLB, just over $87,000. Average amount per bet, $378. Number of MLB bets, 231. Bets on Pirates games, his own team, 25. Percentage of bets won, 4.3%. This guy might have been the worst gambler in the history of the sport, and he had supposedly inside information. Like, if you're going to do it and you're going to risk it for the biscuit, at least make it worth your while and be good at it. 4.3% of the bets hit. What are you doing, schmucko?
Was he doing like insane parlays? Was he just in full degen mode? That's the only way it would kind of make sense.
Yeah, it's just that would make sense, because maybe he hits on his own team and then the parlays don't end up working. But it's like, dude, how can you be that bad and you're in the sport? Like, the reason this is forbidden is you should be in the know. You're getting inside information to make this like, no, this is not fair. This guy stinks. I think all of us could have done better than this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
This is terrible.
I think there's a hubris.
Speak for yourself, Will Chuck.
I think we see it in sports radio, where, you know, sometimes people fall way too into sports gambling and they have a hubris about how much they know, right? Yeah. Can you imagine if you're inside of it? Oh, no, I know who's going to win these games. No, you don't. You really don't.
No, it's true. Like, we talk about sports every single day for a living. And then Eric and I do the BetQL show. I can't tell you how many times we're starting the show. What are you betting on today? Well,
it's
about an hour. It's like, oh, that went down the crapper. That was a terrible. I just kidding. I didn't say that one. But I mean, it's tough. It's hard.
And the worst
Celtics in six.
Worst thing that could happen is you go. Brian. Yeah, that's the worst take I've ever heard.
Gross.
I'll bet you title for title on that one.
Couple of brisket sandos on the line here.
Yeah, oh, always, put some on it,
always
Brian.
A couple of briskets.
Yeah, a couple of brisket
sandos. How about you got to make me one of your burgers?
Okay.
And I got to do a meatball sub for you.
Sounds wonderful.
Sounds like some love right here.
Yeah.
This is good. We're betting on food.
Right, you like the meatball sub, right?
I love the meatball sub.
Okay, well, this
is like, it's a love.
All right,
there.
You've got to make me one of the Costco
best burgers you've ever had.
Exactly.
You got
Will you
it.
Put cheese on it for me,
Brioche
please?
Bun.
Yeah.
Three slabs of cheese.
Okay.
Those slices are chintzy. Yeah. So we'll get you good. We'll get you good and taken care of.
Man, yeah. This week we celebrated.
It's just whoever wins the series, right?
That's right.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Okay, so just whoever wins it. You don't have to hit like Celtics in six specifically.
I hope I have to make a meatball sub, but I'm just telling you what I really believe.
254 said somebody turned him in. His buddy was like, that's enough. Yeah. I can't see you lose any more
he
money,
he turned
bro.
Himself in.
It's so bad.
He's like,
I need to stop this. I have an addiction and I can't save myself from myself.
What if
right
he
now?
Called one of those 1-800 numbers they try and give you, you know?
Right after
you have
the
a gambling
end.
Problem, call one in Pennsylvania, call 1-800.
This week, we celebrated 50 years ago, 10-cent beers that turned Rangers and Cleveland into a bloody riot.
I remember it.
1974.
I remember.
So what do you remember from this? Because the story is absolutely legendary.
Yeah, it started off, the series was Nickel Beer Night in Cleveland at the old Municipal Stadium. And I'll never forget the Rangers standing outside of their dugout with bats. And, like, if people were coming over the dugout, they had bats ready to hit those people
yes.
with. Yeah, it was insane. And then the Indians came the next series. They made the return trip to Arlington. And then you had 10 cents, and then it turned into another. It was crazy.
Yeah.
But the one in Cleveland was as wild a scene. Now, I remember... The White Sox did anti-disco night where they were blowing up records out in center field, which was crazy.
Oh, man.
And the field caught on fire and stuff like that. But
the 70s.
The 5-cent beer night in Cleveland was insane.
Like somebody texted and said, 10-cent beers, sign me up. And yeah, everybody did.
And they were legitimate cups. Oh, yeah. It was like legitimate cups of beer.
They got there early.
Yeah.
They started drinking early and they drank a lot.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean.
Feels like free beer at that point.
Yeah.
Even dollar beer feels like it.
Yeah. Yeah. Manager Billy Martin for the Rangers, never one to back down from a fight, writes the Morning News, turned to his players in the dugout, told them to grab bats. Leading a charge onto the Municipal Stadium field and into mayhem.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I don't blame him. My first professional or, you know, AAA baseball experience was at a quarter beer night in about 1982. 6-year-old Gavin watching a doubleheader involving the Portland Beavers at Old Civic Stadium downtown Portland.
The Beavs.
There. And I just remember hammered adults everywhere cussing a lot. I was terrifying.
Yeah.
It really was.
What was the deal at Portland? We had to do it. Didn't the athletic department buy beer for everybody at Portland at a game?
Oh, yeah.
What was that all about? Then we opened up the beer garden there.
They were trying to get fans.
You show up the game, you get free beer or something like that.
Yeah, the coach was on a radio show, and they were talking about what it's going to take to get fans out there for their big game. So he was like, I'll buy everybody some beer. You know,
he must have been buying a ton of beer in that case.
I think it was like $80,000 in beer.
Probably a year's salary.
25,000+ showed up to this, which was apparently like double their usual attendance.
Oh, yeah.
10-cent beer night.
Yeah, it was crazy.
They came out.
I'll never forget the Rangers. Like listening to that game, it was a war.
The stories are incredible from that. And I know Tom Grieve, I think, has a video out talking about that as well, if you want to go down that rabbit hole. Finally, as we wrap up around the bases, All-Star Weekend is adding prospect skills competitions, including target practice and a power display. So round one, there's going to be a hit it here. Hitters will aim to hit infield and outfield targets in order to earn points. Kind of like we see with quarterbacks hitting those moving targets at the Pro Bowl. Round two is going to be call your shot. Hitters will have a number of swings to showcase their control. Yeah. To start, they're going to announce, which, left, right, or center, they will try to hit the ball. If successful, they will then choose to hit one of the two remaining fields, and it'll just keep going on and on from there. And then round three will be swing for the fences. Hitters will showcase their all-field power and attempt to hit home runs, kind of like a mini home run derby there. But I'm into this. I mean, all the skills we can add for the All-Star game, especially the first time here, we get to get a front row seat.
Yeah, I feel like, to me, that they should have a deal where, you know, call your shot, and if they hit the shot, like you get to adopt a fan. Like at the game, like fan gets $100,000 and you get $100,000 for your charity.
Yeah.
But like,
that'd
like,
be awesome.
It's like, okay, it's Corey Seager and the fan, Zach Wolchuk, you know, and now Zach's
involved.
Yeah. Now everybody's like involved and like, so each player has a fan that they're trying to win money for.
Yeah. I like this.
Yeah.
I need to square away the text over. There's no way Ohtani did anything. You have to think like a degenerate.
Yeah.
Okay. His baseball income is his avenue for making big bets. You're not going to put that income in jeopardy.
there's lots of other stuff to gamble on.
Yeah.
You know, cards, horses, all kinds of stuff you can do now. Other sports. Hell, other teams. Just do other teams, and they're only going to sit you down for a year, right? If you just have to bet on baseball, just don't bet on your team like that Padre guy found out.
The Dodgers.
Yeah.
Freaking Pirates, yeah.
Doesn't make sense to me, but hell, who knows? You know, once you talk about, you know, if you make the assumption that he does have a gambling addiction, then all bets are off, you know? I've seen that Adam Sandler movie. Okay, we got to run, Nation. We got two down, 2.5 to go. What matchups the Mavs must win in order to bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy? That's coming up next. The G-Bag Nation here on 105 Through the Fan. Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105 Through the Fan. Time now to go around the bases. Brought to you by Uber Eats. Here's your baseball host, Wolchuk.
Man, I just saw this. It's a bummer for our guy, Monty. Apparently, Diamondback starter Jordan Montgomery booed coming off the field. Lasted just 2 innings, gave up 7 hits, 3 walks, couple of homers, total of 6 runs. Another pitcher who says missing spring training has been a factor in his slow start. We've seen that with Blake Snell as well. But
Blake Snell's hurt now, right?
Yeah, he is. And I don't think Jordan Montgomery would be booed coming off the field here in Texas in a Rangers uniform. That's a bummer. That's sad to hear.
I think they need to trade him to us.
I think so. Maybe a deadline move?
Yeah,
a
deadline move.
I think so. I think that sounds like a good move to me.
Pay the salary for a prospect or for a player.
Kind of switcheroo.
Yeah, we can do that.
I think that
our GM's really good at doing things like
really
that.
Really good. CY's kind of the best. I mean, he had the IDO get him last year. I think maybe you're onto something there.
Yeah.
Go ahead and make that happen. Yeah. Astros, you're going to be in the market for a pitcher as well. They did say they're going to be buyers at the deadline. Dana Brown, their GM, as they're attempting to right the ship with the P there after they have bounced back. I mean, they entered earlier this week. They had a 27-34 record, which was definitely disappointing. I mean, they were the cellar dwellers for a while. They had a miserable 10-19 stretch to begin the season. Since then, they were 17-15 since the start of May. So they've definitely been playing much better. But now they've got Christian Javier and Jose Urquidy. They've lost both to season-ending elbow surgeries, which is the latest blow to their rotation. They're also without Luis Garcia and Lance McCullers Jr. So right now it's Justin Verlander, it's Framber Valdez, it's Ronel Blanco, Hunter Brown, and Spencer Arrigetti is what they're working with. But big-time injuries to the Astros rotation as well, as their arms are really struggling to stay healthy. So we had talked about that coming into the season. Everyone was pointing at the Rangers and the health of their rotation. Astros have really been struggling, and it's only gotten worse for them. But while the Rangers are looking like they could finally be getting some reinforcements back, like it seems like John Gray could be starting as early as Friday when we're out there at the ballpark.
Well, that'd be great. Love seeing big, bad John Gray out there. I just think it's a league-wide problem, and any team that wins it is going to have to overcome at least one, maybe two, season-ending injuries to starting pitchers.
No doubt. I mean, the tax.
As you guys get pitchers back, are you interested in moving any of them for bats?
It is interesting. I did not think we would have to have the conversation about adding a bat. I thought that they would be overwhelmed with an abundance of offense, but that is a struggle right now. Pitching has not been the issue thus far with the Rangers. It has been the offense, and especially now with Evan Carter.
Yeah.
I think, yes, I think you would have to look at possibly trying to do something to acquire another bat. I think, yeah, you would. Because, I mean, now you've got a luxury of, like, okay, if you've got guys that are coming back to your rotation, you can look at it. Andrew Heaney is a long reliever.
Yeah.
You've had some guys that have really stepped up and played well in the bullpen. So, yeah, I think so. And we'll go through, I'm sure, we'll get some more names coming on when we do Around the Bases later this week that we can maybe target to go and add some offensive firepower. We did get news today that Shohei Ohtani has been officially cleared by Major League Baseball after the investigation into Ipe Mizuhara's bets. Now, Ipe did go ahead and plead guilty. Remember, it was a formality a couple of weeks ago. He pled not guilty, but it was because he was reaching a plea agreement. So yesterday, he went ahead and did plea guilty. But the Dodgers issued a statement with today's plea in the criminal proceedings against Mizuhara and the conclusion of both federal and MLB investigations. The Dodgers are pleased that Shohei and the team can put this entire matter behind them and move forward in a pursuit for the World Series.
Yeah, I love this. You know, I hope some chapter is written or some tale is told, you know, at some point that continues to expand this soap opera. You know, if MLB did in fact cover this up, as so many people believe, it's massive. You know, I can't imagine, though, a player of that size, like everybody that's getting caught is
you know, not making a lot of money. That's the common factor here. Yeah.
They're all
it's
bad.
It's like what happened with the Chicago Black Sox all those years ago was those players were getting squeezed. They weren't making any money, right? And they felt robbed. So they were like, well, we'll figure out one way or another to get our share of this pie. It just doesn't match the description that Shohei would.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. But you're like, Brian, when you say, of course, I agree with you. Major League Baseball, I wonder how in-depth that investigation went because they don't want their star.
This guy's worth hundreds of millions of dollars to baseball, to the Asian market and stuff like, no, they're not, they're not, no.
Yeah.
They're not.
If we can the turn the other way, we're going to.
The investigation is, cough and turn your head and cough.
Yeah.
It's going to require a journalist, you know, to uncover any additional facts because your dead ball is on, right? There's no way MLB wants to find
Who's our guy, Don Van Natta?
Don Van Natta.
Like if he shows up, you know, something juicy is about to be found here, maybe he goes ahead and does a deep dive there on Shohei. We find out he was behind.
Don causes you problems. Tom Rinaldi makes you cry.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, we've learned that.
But to your point, and we're getting texts in like it's obvious, only the small players are getting caught. Well, here's another one. Tecopita Marcano has gotten a lifetime ban from Major League Baseball. Apparently, the infielder placed hundreds of bets on the game, including wagers on games involving the Pirates, the team in which he plays for last season. So he placed 387 baseball bets, totaling more than $150,000 in October of 2022 and from last July through November with a legal sports book. He became the first active player in a century banned for life because of gambling.
Pete Rose.
Listen to this, dude. It wasn't worth it. Total amount bet on baseball, $150,000. Total amount bet on the MLB, just over $87,000. Average amount per bet, $378. Number of MLB bets, 231. Bets on Pirates games, his own team, 25. Percentage of bets won, 4.3%. This guy might have been the worst gambler in the history of the sport, and he had supposedly inside information. Like, if you're going to do it, and you're going to risk it for the biscuit, at least make it worth your while and be good at it. 4.3% of the bets hit. What are you doing, schmucko?
Was he doing like insane parlays? Was he just in full degen mode? That's the only way it would kind of make sense.
Yeah, it's just that would make sense because maybe he hits on his own team and then the parlays don't end up working. But it's like, dude, how can you be that bad and you're in the sport? Like, the reason this is forbidden is you should be in the know. You're getting inside information to make this like, no, this is not fair. This guy stinks. I think all of us could have done better than this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
This is terrible.
I think there's a hubris.
Speak for yourself, Will Chuck.
And I think we see it in sports radio where, you know, sometimes people fall way too into sports gambling and they have a hubris about how much they know, right? Yeah. Can you imagine if you're inside of it? Oh, no, I know who's going to win these games. No, you don't. You really don't.
No, it's true. Like, we talk about sports every single day for a living, and then Eric and I do the BetQL show. I can't tell you how many times we're starting the show. What are you betting on today? Well,
it's
a lot. Hour, it's like, oh, that went down the crapper. That was a terrible. I just kidding. I didn't say that one. But, I mean, it's tough. It's hard.
And the worst guy,
Celtics in six.
Worst thing that can happen is you go. Brian. Yeah, that's the worst take I've ever heard.
So gross.
I'll bet you title for title on that one.
Couple of brisket sandos on the line here.
Yeah, oh, always, put some on
always
them, Brian.
A couple of briskets.
Yeah, a couple of brisket
sandos. How about you got to make me one of your burgers?
Okay.
And I got to do a meatball sub for you.
That sounds wonderful.
Sounds like some love right here.
Yeah.
This is good. We're betting on food.
Right, you like the meatball sub, right?
I love the meatball sub.
Okay, well this
it's a love.
All right, you've got to make me one of the Costco
best burgers you've ever had.
Exactly.
You
Will
got
you
it.
Put cheese on it for me,
brioche
please?
Brioche bun.
Yeah.
Three slabs of cheese.
Okay.
Those slices are chintzy.
Yeah.
So we'll get you good and taken care of.
Okay.
Man, this week we celebrated.
It's just whoever wins the series, right?
That's right.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so just whoever wins it. You don't have to hit like Celtics in six specifically.
I hope I have to make a meatball sub, but I'm just telling you what I really believe.
254 said somebody turned him in. His buddy was like, that's enough. Yeah. I can't see you lose any more
money,
bro.
He turned himself in.
It's so bad.
He's like,
I need to stop this. I have an addiction, and I can't save myself from myself.
What if he called one of those 1-800 numbers they try and give you, you know?
Right after
you have a gambling problem, call one in Pennsylvania, call 1-800.
This week we celebrated 50 years ago 10-cent beers that turned Rangers in Cleveland into a bloody riot.
I remember it.
1974.
Okay,
so what do you remember from this? Because the story is absolutely legendary.
Yeah, it started off, it actually, the series was Nickel Beer Night in Cleveland at the old Municipal Stadium. And I'll never forget the Rangers standing outside of their dugout with bats. And, like, if people were coming over the dugout, they had bats ready to hit those people
yes.
with. Yeah, it was insane. And then the Indians came the next, like, the next series. They made the return trip to Arlington. And then you had Tencent, and then it turned into another. I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah.
But the one in Cleveland was as wild a scene. Now, I remember the White Sox did anti-disco night where they were blowing up records out in center field, which was crazy.
Oh, man.
And the field caught on fire and stuff like that. But
the 70s.
The 5-cent beer night in Cleveland was insane.
Like somebody texted and said, 10-cent beer, sign me up. And yeah, everybody did.
And they were legitimate cups. Oh, yeah. It was like legitimate cups of beer.
They got there early.
Yeah.
They started drinking early, and they drank a lot.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean.
Feels like free beer at that point.
Yeah.
Even dollar beer feels like it.
Yeah. Manager Billy Martin for the Rangers, never one to back down from a fight, writes the Morning News, turned to his players in the dugout, told them to grab bats. Leading a charge onto the Municipal Stadium field and into mayhem.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I don't blame him. My first professional AAA baseball experience was at a quarter beer night in about 1982. 6-year-old Gavin watching a doubleheader involving the Portland Beavers at Old Civic Stadium downtown Portland.
The Beavs.
And I just remember hammered adults everywhere cussing a lot. I was terrifying.
Yeah.
It really was.
What was it do at Portland? We had to do it. Didn't the athletic department buy beer for everybody at Portland at a game?
Oh, yeah.
What was that all about? Then we opened up the beer garden there.
They were trying to get fans.
You show up the game, you get free beer or something like that.
Yeah, the coach was on a radio show, and they were talking about what it's going to take to get fans out there for their big game. So he was like, I'll buy everybody some beer. You know,
he must have been buying a ton of beer in that case.
I think it was like $80,000 in beer.
$25,000+
showed up to this, which was apparently like double their usual attendance.
Oh, yeah.
It was 10-cent beer night.
Yeah, it was crazy.
They came out.
I'll never forget the Rangers. Like listening to that game, it was a war.
The stories are incredible from that. And I know Tom Grieve, I think, has a video out talking about that as well, if you want to go down that rabbit hole. Finally, as we wrap up around the bases, All-Star Weekend is adding prospect skills competitions, including target practice and a power display. So round one, there's going to be a hit it here. Hitters will aim to hit infield and outfield targets in order to earn points. Kind of like we see with quarterbacks hitting those moving targets at the Pro Bowl. Round two is going to be call your shot. Hitters will have a number of swings to showcase their control. Yeah. To start, they're going to announce, which, left, right, or center, they will try to hit the ball. If successful, they will then choose to hit one of the two remaining fields, and it'll just keep going on and on from there. And then round three will be swing for the fences. Hitters will showcase their all-field power and attempt to hit home runs, kind of like a mini home run derby there. But I'm into this. I mean, all the skills we can add for the All-Star game, especially the first time here, we get to get a front row seat.
Yeah, I feel like, to me, that they should have a deal where, you know, call your shot, and if they hit the shot, like you get to adopt a fan. Like at the game, like fan gets $100,000 and you get $100,000 for your charity.
Yeah.
But like, it's like,
awesome.
It's like, okay, it's Corey Seager and the fan, Zach Wolchuk, you know, now Zach's now everybody's like involved each player has a fan that they're trying to win money for.
I like this.
Yeah.
I need to square away the text over. There's no way Otani did anything. You have to think like a degenerate.
Yeah.
Okay. His baseball income is his avenue for making big bets. You're not going to put that income in jeopardy. There's lots of other stuff to gamble on.
Yeah.
You know, cards, horses, all kinds of other stuff sports. You can do now.
Love
other
horses,
sports.
Yeah.
Hell, other teams. Just do other teams, and they're only going to sit you down for a year, right? If you just have to bet on baseball, just don't bet on your team
on
like
Angels.
That Padre guy found
the Dodgers.
Out. Yeah.
Freaking Pirates, smart. Yeah.
Doesn't make sense to me, but hell, who knows? You know, once you talk about, you know, if you make the assumption that he does have a gambling addiction, then all bets are off. You know, I've seen that Adam Sandler movie. Okay, we got to run, Nation. We got two down, 2.5 to go. What matchups the Mavs must win in order to bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy? That's coming up next. The G-Bag Nation here on 105 Through the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.